I want to thank Robert for leading our songs and thankful for the prayer. Thankful Brother Nick this morning. I don't know if it occurred to you, but this morning we were singing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And tonight we're singing about being in the Lord's hand, and we need thee every hour. So we're in the best of condition, regardless of our physical and temporary troubles, we are in the best of condition because we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're God's children, and we should not become discouraged because of those everlasting arms and the hand of the Lord. This evening, for a few minutes, I want us to talk about something else that we are supposed to keep, and it's worded in more than one way in the Bible, but we will begin with the concept that there is something for us to keep, especially are we supposed to keep the Word of God. I might ask you later on to read from the 119th Psalm. That's called an alphabetical psalm. I'm certain you're acquainted with that, which in the original Hebrew language, each of the 176 verses, there are 22 sections of 8 verses each, because there are 22 letters in Hebrew alphabet. And the first 8 verses all begin with, we would call it A or Aleph. The next ones begin with, next 8 verses begin with Beth. The next ones with Dalet. It goes all the way down to the Hebrew alphabet. We would say in our alphabet, everything from A to Z. And it all deals with the Word of God. We will read from that because it actually uses the words that we are discussing. And I'm just going to read from the first 8 verses that I am positive that we could find more. But even in the first 8 verses, we have the statement about keeping God's word. He says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." And of course, back in the Old Testament, God's word, God's law, was given primarily in the law of Moses. And, of course, the Jews were expected to follow the prophets as well. But he says, those are the undefiled that walk in the law of the Lord, or God's word. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, what God testifies about. That's his word. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. There it is again, the word keep. To keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. So he uses different words like testimonies, precepts, statutes. All of those are talking about the word of God. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. And then in verse 8, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. It's another verse I'll call our attention to if you have your Bible open to that place. And that's Psalm 119 and verse 16. 16 comes at the end of the second grouping of 8 verses. He says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. That's a good scripture to think about, to help us to try to remember the word of God. If you cannot remember all of the verses, which I have never met anyone that remembered all of the verses, try to remember what the Bible teaches. Because if we do not remember what the Bible teaches, it's sort of hard to do what God said to do. Sort of hard to keep the words if we are not acquainted with the Bible. One of my teachers in the school of preaching, Brother Charles Pledge, Brother Malcolm knows Brother Pledge very well. He wrote two books, and they were called Getting Acquainted with the Old Testament. I hope that we will get acquainted not only with the Old Testament, but with the New Testament. Brother Pledge was rather a remarkable teacher, and he was able to speed read. And we asked him in class one time, he said, "What's the most books that you ever read in one day?" And he said, 25. He said he had the biggest headache he ever had in his life. He would never do that again. Can you remember, can you imagine turning pages? He tried to teach us, you know, it failed of me. But can you imagine turning pages like this and reading 25 books? He trained his mind. Well, that's good, but even Brother Pledge did not remember everything in the Bible. I would like to think that when we come to study the Bible, that we will take something with us every time. Like this study that we have of things to keep. Important things in the Bible for us to keep. And especially the Word of God. That's what we've been studying all along. When you say the Bible teaches us to keep thyself pure, that's from the Bible. You read that in God's book. Keep thy heart with all diligence. That's from the Bible. And we learn from it. I keep under my body. It's from the Bible. We learn from it. So the Bible is the greatest and most wonderful book in the world. And I know that it's very deep. And there are parts that you will not understand or I will not understand. I will affirm that anywhere with anybody because some of the things, especially in the book of Revelation, I have no doubt that some in the Old Testament that deals with such subjects, like in the book of Daniel, have some of those things have not been finally accomplished. So we don't know exactly everything about it, but we can understand a lot of the Bible and most of the Bible. Some of the great prophecies, few that have not been fulfilled, we don't know everything about these subjects, but we can understand how to go to heaven. Well, the wisest man I ever knew was another one of my teachers, Brother Frank D. Young. And he said that what we need to learn is how to become a Christian, how to live the Christian life. And in essence, anything that you're not able to understand about it, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that, about understanding everything. Nobody understands everything about it. You just need to understand the simple truths that God has given unto all of mankind. He has laid it down so that a child early on can learn how to go to heaven. I have somewhat of a poem, I guess you call it, that we have referred to before. I don't know who wrote it. I believe this has been changed from time to time. Many things out there on the internet, once you put it on there, are changed. It's called The Holy Bible. The Bible reveals the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrine is holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, obey it to be saved, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here heaven is open and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our God is designer, and the glory of God its end. It should rule, it should fill the memory, rule the heart, guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given to you in life, will be opened at the judgment, and will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. And at the end of that, when I first received a copy of it, it said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Psalm 119 and verse 89. So when we read from the Bible, we obtain all of these things from the Word of God. We have a compass to direct us, to guide us. We don't know which way to go in life. We have great many difficult decisions, so we are guided by the Word of God, and we trust what it says. Well, I encourage you tonight to read the Bible whenever you can. I encourage it to read it while you can. And I encourage you to read it as long as you can. I'll tell you what I thought about when I was going over this information, just thinking about it. I thought about Brother Tom Fluke. Brother Tom sat right where James is sitting. And I think about that. Brother Tom's eyes got bad. And we all saw him, and he would bring this big magnifying glass, and it had a light on it. That would be handy, wouldn't it, some of us? He had a light on it, and I'd be up here preaching. I'd look down, and I'd see Tom, and he's got his head down, and he's following along in that Bible with that big magnifying glass. I think there's probably a lot of people that might say, "Oh, that would be embarrassing, you know, to do that." That didn't bother Brother Tom Fluke, did it? He had studied the Bible all of his life. Out in California, out in Hawaii, wherever he went, just like others that are here tonight that served and traveled in the military, he had his Bible. And I have read where they said that when Dwight D. Eisenhower went to Great Britain to become the supreme Allied commander of the forces in World War II, they carried one book. He carried the Bible with him. I don't know how much he read it. I don't think he's a hypocrite. I was told by a man one time in a nursing home, it was since I've been here, many years ago. I believe he was telling the truth. He said he worked under Eisenhower. And he said for a while, Eisenhower's mouth was pretty foul. I believe that. Some of you been in the military, you believe that? I will tell you this, not too much difference in construction work, okay? So he had a pretty foul mouth. And he asked that he might have liberty to say something. And he said, "Sure, yes." And he told him about that and said, "You know, a man of your stature, that is, I mean, you are such an example. And everybody in the world is looking at you." And he said, "That just diminishes from your character." He said, "I will try to do better." And you know, the man said that he did. The man said that he did. So the Bible is able to help us to know what to say, and when to shut up. In Matthew chapter 4:4, we have it worded this way, when Jesus was tempted by the devil. Remember, he had fasted for 40 days, nights, had not eaten anything, and Bible says he was afterward and hungered. In my judgment, obviously, the Father had to sustain him, but he had the hunger. Can you imagine having a hunger of 40 days? But he was told by the devil, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. Well, if I was hungry, I'd jump at that probably, but Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So he had that respect to follow, even down here on this earth, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I do not believe it's accidental that we have 150 Psalms, and they are numbered. And the New Testament refers to that numbering. For instance, it says in the second Psalm, and then it quotes from the second Psalm. So it's not accidental that we have 150 Psalms. I do not believe the order is accidental. And I do not believe it's accidental that you begin with the Word of God. That David loves so much. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Many have noted that at first people just kind of associate and walking with the ungodly. Then after a while they're not walking, they're standing still, and they're listening to the counsel of the ungodly. And eventually it leads you to sit down with the scornful. I would understand the scornful are those that do not keep God's law, do not love God, do not love His Word. They scorn the Word of God. If you study history, which I would encourage you to do, you will find that there have been some great people in reference to the Word of God that have become infidels. And in like manner, there have been some well-noted infidels that became children of God or believers in God. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. If we're going to keep God's word, it is helpful to meditate on God's word. You know, we're going through a time now, you see this on the television, when they're trying to revise the education in our nation. That is a wonderful work, isn't it? That is a wonderful work. And they're trying to get people to understand the importance of religion, the importance of morals in living a life down here on this earth. I would suggest you read a little bit from George Washington, you'll find out that he believed wholeheartedly in that. But I would encourage you to meditate on God's Word as much as possible. I've already suggested the 119th Psalm, and we read through it, went down to verse 16, where he delighted in God's Word and would not forget it. But by meditating, it means you've got to stop. And the reason I said about educational system is they're taking the phones now out of the school, because the students were not concentrated. They were distracted. So I would encourage you, find you a quiet place to study, quiet place to read. Maybe the husband and wife may want to read at the same time, or maybe read together as God's children. But I would encourage you to be reading the Bible, and then to meditate means that you take the time to think about it. Take the time to think about it. And to turn it over, this is the definition, to turn it over in your mind, to revolve it in your mind. And that will really help us as God's children. In verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Tree planted by the rivers of waters. I bought some flowers recently. I like to buy a few. I know they're going to die. Most of mine are perennials because I'm not rich enough to buy all the annuals, okay? So I started planting perennials, and I love them. But this time of year, I go and buy some of those like little mums of different colors. I got some really, you come by the house, you see some beautiful yellow flowers. Oh, they look good. They were on sale, you know, for me to buy them. Yeah, they're back on normal price now. The double price what I paid for it. Oh, they look good. Then I went back and I bought two more that were on sale. And I will tell you this, that I should have put them in more earth to begin with, and I didn't. And one got more water than the other, and I went out this afternoon, and when I got home, let patches out, and first thing I did was take some water out there. I didn't want to pull the hose way out in the end of the yard. I just filled up in a bucket and took it out there, and guess what? I believe they done gave up the ghost. I just didn't water them enough. They weren't taken care of. They were not maintained. When I think about that, that the child of God is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's a prosperous tree, is it not? Have all the water you want. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Chaff is the outside portion of the wheat. And it had to be separated from the wheat. You don't want to try to eat the chaff with the wheat. And so they would have a place sort of up on a hill where you could catch the wind. And they would winnow it. And they would cast it up into the air, and on a windy day, it would separate the chaff, the wheat from the chaff. The chaff is lighter, and so the wheat would fall down to the ground. The wind drives it away. That's an ungodly person. It's a sad thing about the ungodly person, because the ungodly are going to perish. You meet ungodly people probably every day. Those that are older, you've met ungodly people all the way along in life. And it's really sad to think about them perishing in the everlasting punishment. But he says, the godly, they're not like that. The godly are like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And then when it comes down to the final day, he says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. There's something that has not been fulfilled yet. The judgment. That's the final judgment. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. There's going to be a great separation according to Matthew chapter 25. All nations are going to be there. They're going to be separate like a shepherd separating the sheep from the goats. But he says, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Again, when we were in school, I think Brother Young, I remember distinctly him telling us that in that verse, when it says the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, he said what that means is the Lord approves of the way of the righteous. He knows everything about the righteous and the wicked. God approves of a righteous life. David said in Psalm 119 and verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I've noticed that if I do not read the Bible on a regular basis, if there's something that breaks it up, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. In Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28, I don't know that I've actually ever put this in a sermon, but I wanted it here. It says, and it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, listen to this, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. Well, that would be his mother, wouldn't it, Mary? And you know, that said, oh, how blessed! For blessed is your mother. Well, I don't have any doubt that she was a blessed woman. We would say that. I'm not going to chant that like some. I'm not going to chant that. But now listen to what Jesus said. He said, yea, rather, blessed are they, now listen, that hear the word of God and keep it. Think on that a little bit. Jesus loved his mother. At the cross, he committed his mother to his beloved disciple, John. I'd say that nobody ever loved a mother, and a mother loved the son more than Mary and the Son of God. And you know, he said, who's really more blessed than anyone else? They that hear the word of God and keep it. We are a blessed people. John 14 and 23, speaking to Judas on the last night. This was not Iscariot. One of the apostles, also another one, had the name of Judas or Jude. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's some thought, isn't it? If a man keep my words, he will love me. If you've never become a Christian, never put on Christ in baptism, I would encourage you to put him on. If you've gone astray, we encourage you to come back. The Lord wants you. He tenderly and softly is calling you to obey him as we stand and as we sing.